Tired of slow, error-prone processes in your organization? Meet Liger, your new secret weapon for efficiency. Liger is a secure, private, and trustworthy generative AI solution, custom-built for government, designed to streamline even the most complex tasks. From automating time-consuming acquisition processes to providing instant, accurate answers to policy questions, Liger is here to save you time and resources. With Liger, you'll be operating at the new speed of possible. Don't wait. Transform your organization with Liger today. Visit Liger.io to learn more. That's Liger.io.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Expressway. I'm Charles. Show me the way. Here, your co-host for an amazing show that takes you down the road to the world of sports. I'm here with my co-host, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And we are excited to be with you today. We have an amazing show, as always, for you again today. As we do all the time, we break our show up into four quarters. Our first quarter is always about the Jets, Giants, and the news surrounding those teams. Second quarter, we talk about whatever is pertaining to the NFL and what's going on in free agency and the draft. Also, in the third quarter, we kind of let it go. What's on our minds is a segment where we kind of take you through some of the things that we want to talk about, we think are pressing issues, and not only in sports, but in the world today. And finally, the fourth quarter, we take you into some of our favorite sports. The past couple of shows in this cup and for the playoffs, we're going to be talking about the NBA playoff picture and who will win the MVP this year. It looks like, in my mind, there's only one clear choice, but we'll get to that in a few. But there is some probably disappointing news from some Giants fans, even more disappointing news from some Jets fans, that Odell Beckham has finally made a decision on where he will play next season, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. What do you say about that, BT?
Charles, always good to see you, man, and happy day to you, top of the day to you. I am always impressed with things that go on in the world of sports, and every day something new happens. But let me tell you what kind of got me on the Odell situation. Okay, they were waiting for the Jets to give him an offer, but the Jets are waiting for Aaron Rodgers. So it's holding everybody up if you think about it. And so then what happens is that he gets an offer from the Baltimore Ravens. And I don't know, even though they said that he didn't talk to John Harbaugh, he talked to the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. And say, I can't verify that. But then again, why would he go to Baltimore? $15 million, $18 million contract, 15 of it guaranteed. And I think that was the factor, because no one else was offering but between 7 and 10 million. So, you know, he's a businessman, and it's pretty easy for me to decide that. Am I going to take an extra 5 or 6 or stay down, you know, below the average of the great receivers? So it's kind of funny. People say, well, they went to Baltimore, and they don't know if the quarterback is going to be there at all. And the bad thing that would happen is if the quarterback got traded to somebody else. But I don't think anybody was going to trade for Lamar Jackson, because you have to give up 2 first-round draft choices. But if you were another team out there, I would think about it, because the quarterback is the main guy to get things going on your team. So if you don't have one, you're in trouble.
You're absolutely right. I think, A, it comes down to money. Show me the money. Free agency is about money. Everything in the NFL, everything in professional sports is about money. Don't get it twisted that if you put in a significant amount of money in front of me and it's more than what any other team by at least 50% more than any other team, that decision is clear. Unless I've been in the league 20, 25 years and I haven't won a ring, and you're going to give me $5 million and I have a chance to play with Tom Brady and the Baltimore Ravens defense, then I'm not taking less money to go anywhere else. Show me the money. It's always been like that in sports, especially in professional sports. And I think it's disappointing for the fans. I think the Jets were starting to come around to thinking that, A, they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. We got Odell Beckham. We already got a superstar, you know, studded wide receiving core. We got some great running backs. I mean, we would have been an explosive offense. And now, waiting on our friend, tick, 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 Aaron Rodgers' watch is still going on. It's just hard. It's disappointing. I don't know if the Giants fans are that disappointed because, like we said, they haven't signed a quality number one receiver since they let Kenny Galladay go. Yep. In free agency. So I'm assuming that's a position that they'll address during the draft. But you hear some of these prognosticators, and to me, there really isn't where they're picking. There won't be a number one worthy draft choice, wide receiver to pick in that spot. So for me, it would have given them some sort of like a backup plan if they couldn't get a quality receiver in the draft by bringing Odell Beckham in. But like I said before in our previous show, I mean, they got three or four guys coming off of injury, and they're not like easy injuries. They're not like soft tissue injuries. These are major injuries these guys are coming back from. And so to add another guy, a part of that mix is pretty tough.
Well, I'm blown away by the over the years that I've been involved of the technology for getting injured knees back. It used to be a guy would get a ligament damage. He'd have to stay out for a number of time. And they say now, as soon as they operate, they got you walking. So the technology has improved tremendously. I just don't know. And he looked pretty good on film, but that doesn't mean anything. I think Odell's had two major knee surgeries, ligament damages on the same knee. And that's the thing I don't know. But then they were talking about how they fused the cartilage in your knee to make it even better. And I watched Jason Kidd. He used to be playing with the Nets when I covered him, and he had the same thing. And they put some kind of cadaver in there, and it worked for him, and he didn't miss a step. So I'm anxious to see what happens. But see, the question is, and it's already been answered, do you want to win or do you want the money? And so Odell has already got the ring. So now it's about sustaining your leverage so that you can take care of yourself the rest of your life. I think that he's already got enough money to last the rest of his life. It's just a matter of is he going to cop an attitude?
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Is your siding showing its age? Faded, outdated, even with unsightly mold? It's time to transform your home with siding from Thompson Creek. Now featuring James Hardy, the number one siding brand in America. James Hardy offers endless design possibilities with vivid colors, unique patterns, and styles that'll upgrade and elevate the look of your home. Thompson Creek siding, powered by James Hardy, combines style and strength. It's made from a fiber cement composite that's five times thicker than vinyl. Plus, it's moisture, mold, and UV resistant. brand for ultra durability that eliminates maintenance. James Hardie quality provides long-lasting beauty that won't fade. And Thompson Creek backs it with an up to 50-year warranty. Special financing is available. Act now, and for a limited time, get 25% off your James Hardie siding project with Thompson Creek. This offer won't last, so don't miss out. Schedule an in-home or virtual visit today at thompsoncreek.com. See thompsoncreek.com for complete offer details.
He doesn't have a quarterback. And as far as the Jets are concerned, I don't know what the heck they're doing, because you know, Aaron Rodgers has got them in a waiting position, which is terrible. They can't make really any moves unless you find out what you have at the QB position. So I think we're going to still wait on the Jets, but I'm hoping that they do this before the draft, because if they do it after the draft, you know, it's really going to mess them up. So I think the draft, they need to get this done before the draft and before June, because the salary cap, I think, hits Green Bay and leaves them some leverage after June. So I think the Jets are in a tough situation.
They are, but I still think that if a top quarterback they believe that can come in and make an impact on the team in the next 2 to 3 years, they're going to probably draft a quarterback, even if they sign Aaron Rodgers or make a trade with the Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers. I still think that that's a position of need, because Aaron Rodgers will probably only be around for the next 2 years, and they don't have a top flight quarterback in the building at this time, given how Zach Wilson performed last year. So given all those variables, A, they still may draft a quarterback, even if they get a deal done with Green Bay before the draft, a quarterback, and B, if they don't draft Aaron Rodgers, or they have to wait until after the draft to see if they can get Aaron Rodgers, they have to draft a quarterback to bring in the building, because right now they don't have anything. There are some good quarterbacks, or I think serviceable. good is being a little bit nice. Too nice to a lot of these guys that haven't been signed. But there are serviceable quarterbacks that can manage a game for guys, and they could probably make trades to get it, to bring quarterback in to manage. But any quarterback you pick up now, you don't think that you'll be able to win a championship with that type of quarterback. You really need somebody like Aaron Rodgers if they expect to do the things they expect to do this year. As far as the Giants are concerned, I think some of the key positions that they need to focus on is that they still need to shore up some of the linebacker position. We talked about it. They still need to shore up the linebacker position. They probably need another backup running back, and they probably need to get some depth at the cornerback position. I think if they can find a wide receiver, I just don't think looking at, we went over the wide receivers last week. There was really one that's worthy of a first round pick, and that's the kid from USC. But after him, there's really nobody that's that dynamic, that's a game changer that I've seen that is worthy of a number one pick. So for me, if I'm a Giant, I'm looking on the defensive side of the ball to find somebody that can be an impact player, whether it be at the linebacker position or at the corner or the DB position, specifically cornerback.
Let me ask you this question, Charles. 2 years ago, when Danny Jones got hurt, was it Mike Glenn who came in for him, or who was the backup quarterback?
No, that was our friend out in Seattle.
Oh, Geno, not Geno Smith.
Geno Smith was on the team.
No. Okay, say last year, the year before this year, backup quarterback came in.
And he was terrible.
That was when Joe got for the Patriots.
I wiped him from my memory.
He you was sure so did.
I don't even remember. He was, I mean, I don't even know why they would even sign a dude like that. That dude had not won a game since he's been in the league as a starter. That was his record. He was 0 for whatever he started in the NFL. So when you have a record like that, why would you even think about signing a dude? So I don't even look. I think it was Glenn, but look, I can't. He kind of terrified me. I got PTSD from watching him. So I don't remember that dude's name. I can picture him. I see him clear as day. But that dude, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about him as a person. I'm not talking about him as a person, but as a player, man, I don't even know if I could have played if I was a player. I know I'm gonna lose the game. The boy couldn't even throw a 20-yard out, and heck, if he could throw a deep ball, So, man, don't get me started. I got on a soapbox, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the reason I brought him up is because, you know, everybody needs a decent backup. You know, we got Taylor behind Danny Jones, and I think he's adequate if he gets in there and gets a chance. But the reason I was talking to somebody about him the other day, and he's the worst quarterback in the NFL that I have ever seen in my life. As a matter of fact, you know, he held the ball too long. He looked like he didn't know what he was doing. And he's a veteran. And the thing that really got me is, you know, Tom Brady has kind of set the stage on quarterback and getting rid of the ball quickly. And even Eli, when he came, he got rid of the ball really quick. And see, I think if you have an offensive line that maybe not as good as you say they should be, you should get rid of the ball within 2 seconds. This guy held the ball for like, you know, about three or four seconds waiting for somebody to get open. I say again, worst quarterback I've ever seen in the NFL, Charles.
Yeah, and he was from, and I know he's from Boston. He was from Boston College, too.
Yep.
So it's starting to come back to me.
I think it was Mike Glenn. I'm not certain.
I'm stopping right there because I don't even want to remember. I can't wait till the next segment because we're going to go into the DBs. Like I was saying, I think the Giants should be looking at a cornerback in the second and the first round if there isn't a good available wide receiver available for them. Quarterback, linebacker, cornerback, linebacker. We already talked about the linebackers. We're going to take a look at the cornerbacks in the next segment. You're listening to the Expressway with Charles Show Me the Way and the BT Express Billy Taylor. We will be right back in a moment.
And we're back. We call this the Expressway. And I got to give Charles Way the credence for this because he came up with the name. I'm the BT Express when I played back in the day. Charles will show me the way and we put it together, the Expressway. We've been having fun every single week in the world of sports, talking about just about everything. But first quarter, we talked about the Giants and the Jets situation waiting for Aaron Rodgers. Now, this second quarter, we're going to talk about the DBs and free agents. And that's one of the positions that the Giants are looking at possibly a first or second round draft choice because if they can amp up their defensive backfield. And I think they'd also need a pass rusher, too, because Thibodeau seemed like he was coming on at the end, and I think he's going to help out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Tremendously. And if they get somebody else to help out, that's even better for the Giants. So the defensive backs are, I think, where the Giants should go.
Yeah. They still have Ojulari who's continuing. I mean, the good thing about their defensive ends and their defensive ends is that they're young. They're outside linebackers in the 3-4. They're young. And they showed improvement last year. Ojulari, although he's getting hurt too much for me, to be perfectly honest. He's been hurt the last couple of years. So that's a concern for me. But if he can stay on the field, he's shown improvement. You got Kayvon Thibodeau, who's shown some flashes of being a pretty legit pass rusher and will make a name for himself. I think that's critical. The one concern I do have going along that defensive line is Leonard Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He ever since he signed that contract, he had that one good year. Last year, whether it was because of injury or not, I don't know, but he didn't show up as much as we needed him to on that defensive line. Now, Dexter Lawrence, they're actually talking to him about re-signing. He's in contract talk, which is a great sign. You need a guy like that, especially in that style of defense, to be the anchor for that offense, for that defensive line. You said last week that the Baltimore Ravens, the reason why Ray Lewis never got touched is because Saragusa wouldn't allow him to be touched, right? And so you need a guy, a stud, a big stud in there like that, protecting your linebackers so that they can roam free. But like we said, we're talking about DBs, and I'm excited to hear what you think about these next three quarterbacks that we have on tap to go over.
All right. The first one was a gentleman from Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From Illinois. Devon Witherspoon.
Yeah.
Now, do you want tall cornerbacks that can guard a tall receiver, or do you want quickness and speed? Because either one works.
So the one thing I like about this guy is he's not very big. He's not very tall, but he's tough. He's like stout, right? He's about what, six? I think he's 6'1". He's not that big, but he's stout. He's physical. I like a cornerback that'll get in your grill, like a Rondae Barber. Rondae Barber was what, 6'1"?
Yeah.
Right? But he was a stud. He knew he had great ball skills. He would come up and hit you, and he wasn't afraid to tackle you, and he understood the game. And I think this is what I see in this kid, because I played with Rondae when we were at UVA, and he had a great – actually, he's going into the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And I think he has some of the same characteristics as what Rondae Barber has. Obviously, Rondae played in that Tampa 2 system, so he didn't have to play a lot of man coverage. But nowadays, more teams are playing man coverage, and I think this kid – it has the ability to do that, plus help support in the run game as well, which cornerbacks nowadays, given the run play action option, RPO, as people call it, run play action pass option, you need guys like this on the field that can do multiple things.
Well, I agree with you, because, you know, you got to be versatile to be a defensive back, whether it's a nickel situation, a dime, or man-to-man. The type of cornerback I like is a guy who can, you know, get in your face, play man-to-man, and take a receiver out of the game. And there's not many of them can do it. They're breakdown corners. I think that if the Giants can get someone like that, then they're playing 9-on-10. They can double somewhere else. So I think it's a move that the Giants really have to make. But what I'm satisfied with is if the Giants are going after the people that they have the most need for. They're not just going best athlete and say, well, we need maybe a defensive end, we need a defensive back, and we're going after it, and a wide receiver. So I'm looking for this to be a plus for the Giants, because they've impressed me so much this past year about knowing what they need and what they want. So I'm anxious to see if that continues, because I think that this is the first time probably in a few years where I got great confidence in the Giants coaching staff.
Yeah, they've been making all the right decisions. I'm excited for where they're headed. I think they've continued to make good decisions in this year's free agency pickups, the signings. And so what I'm looking forward to is if they could lock down that cornerback position and have somebody that's a lockdown quarter, because you already have the veteran on one side, and now you can bring somebody in that can also create that take a receiver right out the game. They won't even look at your side. And they can bring in a guy like that, like a Sauce Gardner, like the Jets had last year, right? They brought him in, and he made an impact on their defense.
Right away.
And so I'm not calling Witherspoon a Sauce Gardner, but I think he has the physicality and the quickness to be just as impactful as Sauce.
And I was so impressed with Gardner last year for the New York Jets, because he stepped right in as a rookie, showed confidence. And you think about it, people pay good money to see the defensive backs get beat. And that's the toughest position in football. You know what I mean? I'm almost embarrassed when a defensive back gets beat. But now it's happening too much. Every game you see somebody get burnt. And I love it when the Raiders, when they first, a long time ago, back in the early days, they would always throw the bomb no matter what happened the first play, because then that gets your defensive backs to lay off and you run the out, the in, or whatever you want to do. So I think the Giants can set that up. And if they can get either Witherspoon or one of these other two we're going to talk about, I think that's going to help their team to get better. I already see improvement in the Giants. And with the Philadelphia Eagles losing a lot of players, it's time for the Giants to step up. I think the Cowboys are untested. I think they're overrated. So that's easy for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, I think when you set up the criteria for what is your need, and then you decide who you pick based on who's the best available person at that knee position, unless you find that Lawrence Taylor is sitting there and you're like, what? Nobody is taking him. You know, forget need. I've got a chance to get the best player in a National Football League. That's when you draft best available player if yep. he's on the board. But if that doesn't happen, then you got to draft the best available player at the position of need. And like we talked about, the position of need is DB, specifically cornerback in the first round, or linebacker or wide receiver. Those are the three positions you have to address. And you might want, if I don't know if there are any like solid defensive linemen you can find at 25, maybe at least a lineman, but I don't think you'll find a solid linebacker, defensive lineman at 25. So from my standpoint, the three positions at 25 where the Giants are picking is linebacker, wide receiver, and cornerback. That's it. You got to look at those three.
Well, see, I was looking at what you just said about Williams and Dexter Lawrence. You remember they had the alumni day last year against the Baltimore Ravens, the Giants, all the old guys come down and meet everybody. Dexter Lawrence was so funny. I mean, he was just a good guy, and he had a heck of a season. So I can see this Giants doing something with him. As far as Williams is concerned, he signed that big contract, and he got hurt. And I think that sets you back a little bit. Wasn't able to play up as a potential. So I don't know if the Giants – it's not a guaranteed contract, but I don't know if the Giants are going to keep him coming into the season. He's got to have either a heck of a camp or have something go right to show that he's back in form. But when he was playing well, when he was in form, he was very instrumental in the Giants' success. But Dexter Lawrence has quickly gone above, and I think he's a Pro Bowl defensive tackle. I think he's unmovable on the defensive line, and that can help. When you get a good defensive back in there that could make the quarterback and with the pass rush, and the defensive back doesn't have to hold the receivers as long. Because if you got a quarterback that gets rid of the ball, or defensive lineman or defensive end gets to the quarterback, that makes the defensive back's job a lot easier. And that's what I look for the Giants to do, is make the defensive back's job a lot easier by putting power rush onto the quarterback.
Absolutely. And you just talked about size at cornerback, at the cornerback position. This next skill we're going to talk about, Christian Gonzalez, gives us that size. Actually, these next two cornerbacks, which may not be first rounders, which may be a second round pick, but Christian Gonzalez is another guy that I like. He's from Oregon. Obviously, on the practice field, all they're doing is playing against receivers that are legit running down the field and having to chase. So having the ability to understand route concepts and route and schemes, I think he's built for it, because on that team itself, he's going against it every day in practice. So I like him because he knows where the ball, he knows how to find the ball, and he does a great job of covering these receivers and not losing them, because I think he understands route concept. He understands what the quarterback is, what the quarterback and receivers are trying to do. And he's less susceptible to these back shoulder throws that have become prevalent because defenses can't defend them.
I think, Charles, that the back shoulder throw is one of the undefensible plays in football. And think about it, is the defensive back is reading the wide receiver, and the wide receiver doesn't want to show him what's going on. And then the last second, and that's why Odell Beckham, you can catch him with one hand or two hands or whatever. He can come around quickly. That's when your defensive back or your wide receivers have to show their hands. And the Giants were talking about Wandale Robinson, their second round draft choice a year ago, that he may come in and be able to help tremendously because he's not hurt this year. So usually in football, the second year is usually your best year, because your rookie year, you're just getting acclimated. It's not like the Jets defensive back who came in and just started going from the very beginning. But so I'm looking for that. The reason I like Gonzalez, because he played in that passing league. I think he played 1 year with Herbert, the guy quarterback for Los Angeles. They call him Los Angeles, but the Chargers. And I just think that anytime that you can have someone in practice to make you better, it's going to help your game tremendously. And in Oregon passes the ball all over the field, no matter who's their quarterback. And they got great uniforms because they're owned by Knight, Nike, who owns the, who's the general manager or the owner of Nike. And you watch them, they come out with five different uniforms. You might, and they got bright colors and everything. And I think that helps the game tremendously.
Yeah. No, that's you know, those Texas teams have owners like that too. Those Texas But that's the first university I've ever heard of that had an owner. Because you go, I haven't been to their campus, but everybody that tells me you go to their campus, it's like going to Nike University. Because it is decked out in all Nike. The facilities are like top notch. And if someone else has a better facility than they do, they go back and fix it to make it better than theirs. So you can't, I can't say enough. Oregon and Phil Knight, hey, you can't. Phil Knight is, hey, if you got billions of dollars, you got to do something with it, right?
Well, I laughed because I was reading, and this is kind of off the subject, that he is the reason Michael Jordan is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, because he gave him over $100 million to be endorsed by Nike, the biggest contract Nike's ever given anybody back then. And that's why Jordan is able to make it to be president and then the owner of the Charlotte Hornets. And I think that I love to see athletes parlay their money into different subjects. And when we come up on the third quarter, we're going to also talk about athletes' platform and what they do and stuff like that. So that's going to be interesting also. But I hope the Giants get the defensive back that they need. And I know that the Giants scouting department, you know, they got a good idea what they need, a defensive back. I've always liked tall ones because, you know, you got these quarterbacks who throw the 50-50 ball now more than ever. As long as you're even, don't have double coverage, they throw it to them. So a tall defensive back, I think, has more of an advantage than somebody that's less than 5'10".
Absolutely. And this next guy has a pedigree. We always talk about pedigree.
Yep. You know,
is it in your blood? And this next kid, Joey Porter from Penn State, he and I played for Penn State. You know, they picked on those DBs a lot, the opposing teams. At Penn State, but he grew up in a football family. He was around football. He understands what it takes to play at the highest level because his dad played at the highest level. Yep. And knowing Joey Porter, like I know Joey Porter, he pushed his kid to be the best. And so with all that being said, I like this kid too, just because of his upbringing.
And see, I totally agree with you. As a matter of fact, over the years, I looked at a lot of athletes and their siblings. I went to Texas Tech University, went back for homecoming. At least 10 of the athletes on Texas Tech's team, their dad had played college ball at Texas Tech. I think there is something to it. And I think the scouts need to know that kind of stuff because you know the kind of athlete Joey Porter was. He was tough. He had a lot of meanness in him. And if that came anywhere to his son, Joey Porter Jr., you know he's going to be a good athlete. So I like that pedigree, as you said, and I think that scouts need to utilize that more when they get ready to draft a player because, you know, sometimes in football, it's such a hard game. There's not a lot of players who have the passion to staff to practice every day and do things. You like when practicing coach says practice is over.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
How many people stay after practice? And I played with Phil Sims, and he's one of the few guys that stayed after practice, came early, stayed late, and that's why he played 15 years. And I agree that I think that if you got that kind of like, it's almost like a basketball player who plays basketball all day. You know, Kobe Bryant played all day. LeBron James, they played all day long. So I think Joey Porter is one of those kids. And I would take that into consideration if I was going to think about making a part of the organization.
Absolutely. And hopefully he's around. I think he's more of a second-round pick, early third-round pick. But if he's around there and the Giants haven't addressed the cornerback situation, that he would be an excellent pickup in the second round. Well, we'll be right back in a moment. But before we go, I just want to let you know that third quarter, stick around for our third quarter because this is an exciting segment. There are a lot of things we need to get off of our chest, but we really want to know. And I really want to know from you, BT, are athletes using their platforms for the good or for the bad? Hold on to your thought, but I need to know. But we'll be right back in a moment. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way. I'm here with the BT Express Billy Tim. We've just gone through quarters. We've just got past halftime. And now we're talking about what's on our minds. And what's on my mind is, what is going on with these athletes today? How are they using their platform? You know, Twitter, social media has given them a tremendous platform to highlight things that are good, things that they believe in, things that they support, charities that they support, causes that they want to bring the light to their fan base. But some people, I believe, take things too far. You know, the Angel Reese situation, and maybe I'm wrong, and you got to let me know if I'm wrong. But Angel Reese, I can understand, was upset that Joe Biden was going to invite Iowa, and the dynamics, and maybe Joe Biden didn't know. So you got to understand. Hear me out before I say this. And this is what I have a problem with people. And this is why I think our society is so conflicted, right? Because no one wants to listen to someone. Everybody just wants to jump to a conclusion. That's because of social media. Everybody thinks that they have an opinion, so they're just going to just blurt it out. Whereas back in the day, you kind of thought about it because you had to write it down because it wasn't immediate, right? And so you had a chance to digest and think about what you wanted to say. But now, as soon as it comes in your mind, it goes out in outer space so everybody can see it. And this is the problem that I have with athletes today. Kyrie Irving is another example of someone just putting something out there before thinking. But the problem I have with Angel Reese is I don't have a problem with her addressing Joe Biden and saying, what are you talking about? Why are you doing this? But if you sit back and take a look at it, instead of just automatically reacting to it, Joe Biden was excited. Let's play devil's advocate here for a second. Joe Biden was excited that the women's basketball game platform was now getting the national recognition that it hasn't had ever. That national conference game, not a WNBA game, but an NCAA women's basketball game, was the most watched women's Final Four ever. 10 million viewers. That should be applauded, especially in this age of women's rights. And so for her to come out and not only, it's okay to bash, but understand why she was doing it first, and then understand the undertones and the perspective that you had. Yeah, your perspective is the reason why you're inviting them is because they're white and they're a white basketball team, and she was upset because that's probably in her mind why she got upset. But it wasn't the case. That wasn't. And so now she wants to not go. She was on social media saying, I'm not going to the White House. And then she made it seem like the team's not going to the White House because she said she's not going to the White House. I just don't understand what athletes are doing now. They got a powerful tool to bring things to light. And are they using it the right way?
Well, Charles, we're talking about Angel Reese of LSU. She won the NCAA championship for women's basketball. And then Joe Biden's wife invited both teams to the White House. And I do think that Jill Biden had her heart in it. I do think that she said that since it was the highest ranked televised women's basketball game in history, that she wanted both teams to go to the White House. But the thing about it is that you're only supposed to serve the winner. And the way that things go, they only have one Super Bowl winner, one World Series winner, one winner of the Masters that year. So I think that in a different age that we're in, it's almost like, in the lower level, my little kid plays Pop Warner, and they give everybody a trophy. And so then that doesn't fit in because the other guys really didn't deserve anything. But I think at that level, when you're a little kid, maybe they do deserve it. But I kind of agree with Angel Reese in one form, that they're the winners, not Iowa. They beat Iowa pretty handily. Why should the second place team go? But Jill Biden wanted to showcase both of them. And I think that's why Angel Reese was able to go out. But Angel Reese, she don't mind speaking her mind at all. And I have to give her credit, but it's how you say something and it's when you say something. And I think this is definitely going to turn a lot of people off. But turning the pages on the platform for athletes, I was looking at some CW the other day, where Muhammad Ali was getting ready to go to Vietnam. And I'm reading this. I don't know exactly how it happened, but a lot of people, you know, they didn't want to support him. But Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, even Jackie Robinson's people came to support Muhammad Ali because nobody was supporting him. And I didn't know anything about it, but now I do understand why they came to support him, because they believe there should not be a war in Vietnam. And now you see, and over the years, Michael Jordan has gotten a bad reputation for not helping people. He has in the last couple of years, but he never stood out on anything. And some athletes realize if you stand out on something, you're not going to get any endorsements. So which way do you go, CW?
Yeah, I agree. But I think activism without knowledge is like putting a gun in a child's hand.
Exactly. Especially, that's a great point, man. Great point.
Especially in today's society. Bill Russell, all of the people that you name were in the middle of the civil rights movement. They had to be knowledgeable of what they were doing. They were probably the most focal part of that civil rights movement, because they were trailblazers in the world of sports and civil rights, right? And so what hurts the case for these athletes and taking a stance on certain issues and bringing awareness to certain issues is that, are they educated about the subject matter enough to speak on it? And so, i.e. Kyrie Irving, I think it was well intended, but did he actually understand the subject matter he was putting out there on social media? If he would have understood the content of the information that he was putting out there, maybe he would have responded differently to the accusations, or not even put it out there at all, but made a separate statement based off the book, saying this particular issue that was highlighted in the book is an issue that affects our people. Not the fact that we're anti-Semitic. It's just an issue that was brought out in the book impacts a certain group or a certain population. And that's the problem that I have with some of these athletes, is that be learned in a subject before you start talking about a subject.
Well, two things. I remember when LeBron James came out about Black Lives Matter, or he came about something else, some lady on a television show said, just shut up and play ball. And that made me mad, because he was standing up for something that he believed in. As far as Kyrie Irving, he's shown me over the years that he doesn't do his research. I mean, he sat there and said the world is flat. The world is not round. And I couldn't understand that, because it's been proven that the world is round. Then he comes up with different stuff. He doesn't understand the magnitude that it hurts other people, hurts other races when you're anti-Semitic. And I think that you know, he's either being guided by something bad or something. But he said, and he really turned me off a couple of years ago when they had that riot in Washington D.C. when all those guys stormed it wasn't the White House, but they stormed the Constitution, or they stormed it. They stormed the Capitol, because he said he was taken off from playing basketball to go to that. They found him at his sister's birthday party. And to lie like that, okay, once you lie as an athlete and you're caught, I think you lose all credibility. I'm glad they shipped him out of here. Dallas team that he's playing on did not make the playoffs. They tanked in the last two games. And another thing that made me mad, and this is kind of off the subject, is Kyrie Irving had a chance to come back a couple years ago in the playoffs, because he had a low ankle sprain. He didn't work at it. He didn't go to trainers. He just tried to work at himself and never came back to help Kevin Durant. And that really turned me off, because I watch football players and I know it's a different game, that they'll do anything to get back on the field. And I know that you're not crazy, but if you can do stuff beside what the trainer does, go home and ice it, go home and put some heat on it. Kyrie Irving did none of that. And that's why I've been turned off by him. And I just don't believe that he's the true spokesman for anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like I said, I think social media is an excellent platform, and it is an excellent platform. But what gets me about all of the athletes, not just Kyrie Irving, but a lot of the athletes, is that the way they use it, and I think there needs to be education around how to use social media. I think they're doing it more in colleges because of NILs. Because it is a brand, and you're branding yourself, you're branding the university because you play for the university. And so a lot of colleges I know of are trying to educate them on how to better use social media and how they're looked at and viewed upon on social media. I think our older athletes, our more professional athletes, need to start taking those classes as well, because if because some of the things that come out of some of these guys' mouths today are literally newsworthy. And that's why people like you and me have platforms to talk about it, because they're always making news. They're always saying something that they shouldn't do, or they want to do because they want to create the presence. Because if you're just lolly-da and just ho-hum and you're just playing by the rules, you don't get noticed. But if you say something crazy, you get noticed. Kyrie has like 10 million viewers now just because he says something crazy, right? And if you look, and I'm serious, if you look at athletes, maybe they do stuff on purpose because this is the only way to get views. That's not the way I am. That's not the person who I want to be. You like me for the content of what I say and what I do, and it's meaningful. Great. I'm not going to say something off the cuff that may be detrimental, that I really don't believe in
or embarrasses you. But one person I am really pleased with, and it took me a little while. I've always been a fan of LeBron James. The Bobby Hurley is the father of Danny Hurley, who won the University of Connecticut NCAA championship. Bobby Hurley has been a friend of mine for a long time. We talked on airplanes and different things, and he's the high school coach for a team in Jersey City, and that's where both of his boys came. He said to me, he had a young kid he wanted me to look at. LeBron came here his junior year in high school, and what I was so impressed with was he passed the ball, you know, because you look at Kobe Bryant, didn't pass the ball. But anyway, make a long story short, there was a situation where I had to call for a library in Akron, Ohio. And I called them. I said, I presented them my proposal. And they said to me, we're already taken care of. I said, what do you mean? They said, LeBron takes care of us. I said, what do you mean? He said, he takes care of all the third graders, 6,000 third graders. He's paying their way through college. And as soon as they get good grades, he buys them all a bicycle. Then he builds a $10 million school for kids with special needs, and he builds a whole thing around them. And that does not get a lot of publicity because it's positive. And that's the thing I think athletes should do. I think if athletes, especially nowadays, the money they're making and they need to write off anyway, do something positive for your neighborhood. And LeBron James is way out there as far as that concerned. So he's, I have to bring him even higher than Michael Jordan, because Michael didn't do much when he was a player to help other people.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like I said, I think this is a subject that we will continue to talk about, continue to talk about and discuss, and knowing athletes will have something to talk about other than these two players. So I can wait, but I probably can't wait to see what happens next, what happens next week, what happens tomorrow, because knowing our athletes, something will be said that we will be discussing next week. But hey, we're just finished.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
It's our third quarter. We're heading into the final quarter, the fourth quarter, where we're going to talk about the NBA basketball. We just had some great games. Well, one great game last night went into overtime. The other game wasn't that great. But we'll be talking about the NBA playoffs, the play-in games, and who is our winner for the MVP in the NBA. We'll be right back in a moment. welcome back to the Expressway. We have just been through three quarters of an amazing show, hanging out with my co-host, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. I'm Charles, show me the way. And this is one of our favorite segments. We're talking about the NBA basketball. Hey, this week, the play-in tournaments are taking place. We just got finished the Lakers and the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a whole quarter in itself, talking about what happened in Minnesota. You got Rudy Gobert punching out Derek Anderson. You got Jalen McDaniel punching a wall and not playing, and his season is done. What a disaster Minnesota is. But I digress, because we're supposed to be talking about the game. And given, you know, Karl Anthony Towns was in foul trouble, they should have won the game. Minnesota should have won the game, right? But they took the Lakers to overtime. And I just don't think the Lakers are – everybody's talking about the Lakers are the surprise team because they won a few games. But I just don't – Minnesota isn't great, and they don't scare me as much as I thought they would scare me if I was like the Denver Nuggets or even –
Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, or even Sacramento. But I'm not scared. I'm not scared of them. So what do you think about that Lakers win last night?
Well, the thing about it is when I watched the game, Lakers were down 15, 17, and they had to really fight to come back. And I don't know, because I was thinking before this playing game started playing that the Lakers may be on the verge of winning another championship. But when I watched them against Minnesota, I kind of changed my mind. Maybe they – and the thing about it is that going into the game, the Lakers were favored by 8.5 points, and there were people talking about them walking over and getting ready for the Memphis team they're going to play in a little while. But I think that sometimes athletes get in their mind that they should walk through the game, and I don't think they took Minnesota like they didn't have respect for them until the game got out of hand a little bit. Karl Anthony Towns, I think he's outstanding. I really do. He's improved his game a lot. He won a 3-point shooting contest for big men, and he can shoot the rock a lot. But and then for them, because, you know, their point guard, who used to play at the Nets also, you know, he got traded from Minnesota to the Lakers. Yeah, he's doing really well, too. I think we're going to see some outstanding basketball, Charles Wade, because, you know, when the Phoenix Suns are going to play, they're playing Denver Nuggets. And the thing about it, that eliminates one of the great teams already this early. What do you think of the play-in tournament? I think it adds excitement to the NBA.
I think it does. It makes teams not want to be one of the last four teams in the seeding aspect, because they don't want that extra game. I think the top six teams now love the rest period. You get a chance to heal up. It's after a long season. We already doing load management. And so you got a whole week to get yourself together. And, you know, team, especially the top tier teams that only have one or two guys that have been carrying the load, i.e. the Sixers and Joel Embiid and James Harden, who are both are very injury susceptible, injury prone. It helps teams like that because they need the rest. Because when they get into their games, they're going to be playing 36, 38 minutes a game.
Well, see, the thing about it, too, is that, you know, they say there's too many games. They play 82 games. And they say that now they're putting in a rule that you got to play at least 65 games out of the 82 to get an award, whether it's Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, or whatever. And I think that's a good rule to make. They got to worry about load management, because if you, Charles Wade, were going to take your kids to a Nets game, say that to see the Lakers, and then LeBron and Anthony Davis don't play, you had to be a little upset. They didn't give you any advance notice they weren't going to play. You know this probably a few hours before the game. I don't like that at all, because I look at the old-time people like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley. They played 82 games. Michael Jordan played every single game. And the thing about it, I don't know why they want load management now. I know it gives you rest and you get to regenerate your muscles, but, you know, as much as they're getting paid now, like Rudy Gobert, I mean, he's making $50 million, and he doesn't score but 14 points a game, but he's a Defensive Player of the Year.
But that's why they're paying them $30-40 million
just to play defense.
Just to play defense. And they don't have anybody else on their team because they're paying them $40-50 million. So if he don't play, they lose. and half of these teams that get the teams that are looking like that have given up all their draft picks. So if they lose, they can't replenish in the draft. So if you think about it, that's a big issue. What do you think about the Miami Heat? Playoff Jimmy didn't show up last night or this week when he won. It wasn't Playoff Jimmy. It was what Trey? What they call Trey? Ice Trey? Ice Trey showed up, and so from Atlanta, and he kind of set it off. But Atlanta is a very scary team. I would be very nervous if I was Boston, or because Atlanta, is going to be a very hard team to play against because of their quickness. They got to run. They're not a half-court team. They got to run. But that's a scary team and a scary matchup if I'm the Boston Celtics. But if anybody could do it, it is definitely the Boston Celtics.
Well, I've been impressed with the Celtics all year because they got a new coach, and he's implemented a really great program for the Celtics. And they're playing really well right now, so it's going to be tough. But I just think the Hawks are up and down. It just depends on what night you get them. And I think if you double team their point guard and force him, at the half court mark to get rid of the ball, because, when he's not shooting the threes and taking the ball to the hole, he's not as good as he has been. I don't know if the Hawks are good enough to win a championship, but I thought the Heat would put up a better battle because of their coaching and the way they've done. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. And I just don't know what happened to them. But like I said, this type of NBA shows you who's the best of the best. And that's what I like, because there's not going to be anybody who doesn't win the championship because they haven't played hard. And you're talking about MVP. I have to give you credit because you Joe Embiid, who I really don't like him, to be honest with you, because he falls down all the time. He flops. But he has shown me this year that he has stepped his game up. He's averaging over 30 points a game. He's the threat to deal with. Him and James Harden have played extremely well. The pick and roll basketball they play is virtually unstoppable. So it just depends on what Harden does in the playoffs. But this is my time for the NBA, and this is the most exciting time that everybody should at least tune in.
Yeah, I'm excited for this year's. The West, the first round is going to be legit. You got some great matchups. You got the Clippers against the Phoenix Suns, which I think is an easy Phoenix Suns win. The Clippers really don't impress me, and especially if Paul George isn't playing, I don't see them getting out of the first round. But Phoenix is going to be a tough out for anybody. You got Devin Booker and Chris Paul and KG on the same team. It's going to be hard for anybody to beat them in the West. I the upset will be whoever plays Denver. I don't think Denver is a worthy team to be in the top spot. And anybody coming out, Minnesota even probably has a chance if they come out of that play-in tournament and take the eighth seed, could potentially beat the Denver Nuggets. I'm not highly impressed with them, especially given how they played towards the end of the season.
And they did slow down a little bit at the end. But the thing about it, they have the best record in the West. So that's got to mean something. At least they play team ball. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens. But, as far as the Clippers and the Suns are concerned, Kawhi Leonard, it depends on how he does. Because sometimes he's unstoppable. He's the most, I don't know what the word is. He's like a poker player. You cannot look on his face and tell if he's happy, if he's sad or anything. And because he played with the San Antonio Spurs, he won a few championships there. And that's when I got a chance to meet him. But I think that the Suns are very lucky to have Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant is probably one of the only few players, Charles, that can fit in on any team. You don't have to wait for him to get in shape. You don't have to wait to put the offense in. He's a basketball player. He's a gym rat, comes early, stays late. And I think the Suns, it surprised me if they lose. So I'll say it like that in a seven-game series. But I watched the Golden State Warriors. They put up 155 points. So I think that they may be coming, because Klay Thompson said, if they're healthy, nobody can beat them in seven games.
Well, I think their defense, they're a little small, and I think their defense is a little susceptible. They haven't been the defensive juggernaut that they've been in the past. And, Mike Brown may have something to do with that, because he was their defensive guy for a very long time.
Good point.
I'm excited to see what Sacramento does against LA. So there are a lot of great matchups. Can't wait. I can't wait till next week so we can talk about those matchups and what's been transpiring over the weekend. So I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to hang out with you again next week. Looking forward to it.
Well, Sacramento, Mike Brown was the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron won the championship. He's got experience. And I think they had the best defense. He teaches defense. And I believe that's what I believe in, especially in basketball. The team that plays the best defense has a chance to win every game. If you depend on your 3-point shots or your offense, that could let you down at different times. So I think that Mike Brown may be coach of the year because of what he did at Sacramento, because they haven't done nothing in a few years. They had a couple of good players. Sabonis is his name. His dad played in the NBA years ago. And he, again, that's a protege of his dad. And he's playing excellent ball. And I think right now, and the thing about what I like is that we don't know who's going to win the West. I think Suns and Denver and Lakers, Clippers, I don't know. But I just think that it's coming down the stretch. And this is what sports is all about, because if you know who's going to win, it takes a little bit off of it. So now I can't tell you, and you wouldn't bet your house on any of these teams because you never know.
Absolutely right. I'm waiting. I'm like I said, this weekend, I'm looking forward to it. Got my popcorn ready.
Go. Oh, my goodness gracious. And what did you think about Dallas sitting Kyrie the last couple games so they could get a better shot at that?
It's all about the process. I'm a process believer. So the Sixers did it for 5 years to get Joel.
5 years is a long time, Charles. Come on.
That's how long we had to wait. So it's all about the process, baby. And they're trying to get that kid that's 6'10" and can play center and guard. So
yeah, but you got a 1 in 15 because they have 1 in 15 chance to win that, which is terrible. I don't think you should do it for that reason, because then you send a bad message to the fans.
Well, I know the players weren't happy, but hey, they would have lost a draft pick if they would have made the play-in game, and they need draft picks, especially given what they had to give up to get Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but Kyrie plays no defense. Nobody plays defense on Dallas. If you don't play defense, you don't have a chance.
That's exactly right. But look, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens. It's going to be an exciting weekend. Get your popcorn ready, guys.
But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the Expressway. Charles Way and Billy Taylor will be back each and every week talking about the world of sports, and we have to do it in 4 quarters. Got to thank Big Ben, the back of the studio. He always makes us sound better than we really are, and he really helps us, and I just got to give him his credos. And for Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, have a nice day.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.